Okay, we're in the middle of discussing the sugya of Mekadesh B'chalipin. So again, let's just run through the background and pick up from where we left off. So the Gemara here says, Gimel Amud Aleph, Minyanu D'Reisha L'Mutei Mai, L'Minyanu D'Seifa L'Mutei Mai. Why do we need to specify Hayisha Niknes B'Gimel Drachim? We can all count. So similarly in the Seifa, right, to Kona Satzon B'Shtei Drachim, so the Mishnah says that Minyanu D'Reisha L'Mutei Chopa, that it's to exclude chuppah, and that we'll discuss more in Heywood Beis, that the idea that chuppah might be a candidate for Erusin. So then the Gemara says, well, Rav Huna damar chuppah kana mikal v'chomer, Rav Huna on Daf Heywood Beis really thinks that chuppah is effective for Erusin. So according to him, obviously that's not excluded in the Mishnah, so what is excluded? So the Gemara says, and that's when we get to our topic, Lemutei Chalipin, that the Mishnah is excluding Kiddushin al Yidei Chalipin. Chalipin is an exchange of some sort, right? We usually sometimes call it Kinyan Sudar, meaning you pick up a handkerchief and, you know, symbolically, I guess, an exchange for that handkerchief, or we'll see if that's really the way it works, right? A Gemir's Das, let's say, a commitment, you know, to transfer something else into the fellow's rishus, and that's called kinyan sudar, kinyan chalipin, kinyan. Actually, the word kinyan in the Talmud, stam kinyan. The Rambam, you know, mentions this in Parakei Hilchos Mechira. Stam kinyan has a meaning of kinyan sudar. Now, again, you could say that is because of its ubiquity, and it's just a, you know, I wouldn't say coincidence, but it's just a conventional usage. We'll discuss whether or not, my personal belief is that it's more than that. It says something about the core nature, if you will, of Kinyan Sudar. But anyways, Kinyan Sudar is a very common Kinyan. It's a very uniform and universal Kinyan, meaning many Kinyanim apply only, you know, to one type of transaction or another. If it applies to metalpin, it doesn't apply to karka. If it applies to mecher, maybe it doesn't apply to she'ela, as the case may be. Kinyan sudar is a very ubiquitous, very uniform, or almost universal kinyan. So the fact that it's excluded from kiddushin is quite, in addition to everything else, that, put it this way, that it is a candidate that needs to be excluded, makes a lot of sense given its comprehensive application. That in the end of the day, it is ineffective, invalid as a form of kiddushin, notwithstanding the fact that it does have this very wide scope, is interesting. In other words, the first point makes it interesting in terms of the nature and character of chalipin. The second point may seem to say something very important about the nature of Kinyan Kiddushin, which we're going to pursue. So the Gemara says, to reinforce point number one a little bit temporarily at the expense of point number two, that, before we get to that, sorry. Just forget I said that for one more line. Then the Gemara explains what the Havamina was. So, well, same thing anyway. So Kadai Tchamina, hold the Gemara Kicha Kicha Mistei Ephron. We would have thought that since the source of Kinyan Kesef is the story of the acquisition of the Marzal Machpelah, so just as a field can be acquired by chalipin, so too isha kamashmalan. That's not true. That's point number two. So then the Gemara says, well, why? Why isn't point number one, meaning the comprehensiveness of chalipin, why isn't that applicable here? Vema hakanami. So then the Gemara's answer is, chalipin is not an answer without problems, a very intriguing answer, which we need to discuss. Chalipin isnayu b'pachas mishava pruta, v'isha b'pachas mishava pruta lo mekanya nafsha. Since it's possible, right, it's conceivable to have a chalipin even with something worth less than a pruta, therefore the simple reading of the Gemara, therefore the entire category of chalipin is excluded. Even a chalipin with more than a pruta is going to be excluded. Why? that you should exclude less than a pruta, we understand, or that you should include anything beyond would seem to be very illogical. So let's see whether the Rishonim consider this statement to be something, you know, a very strong principled statement that tells you both about Kiddushin and about Chalipin, or something much, you know, more limited, much narrower. Right? So what we spent last week doing, this is one Gemara. Let's get actually the other Gemara in very quickly. This is one Gemara. The other Gemara is the Gemara in Bava Mitbeis on the bottom, which we also discussed, which says that matana menas lahachzir shma matana, meaning if I give you a gift and the condition is that you return it to me at some point, that's called matana, right? A gift al menas lahachzir, on condition that it be returned. So normally we paskin in kol Torah kula, we'll say, with one exception, we paskin that matana menas lahachzir shma matana. Even though you're not going to keep this object permanently, nonetheless, that's a matana. Now, why that exactly is, we'll talk more when we get to Vamid Beis. Because again, there can be two opposite approaches here, and some shades in the middle. One approach can be that, you know, it's true that matana menas lahachzir is not permanent. In other words, at some point you're going to have to return the object. But that return, that impermanence, can be looked at as something that is incidental and extraneous. In other words, I own the object fully in every way. And like this, we made a separate deal that, you know, at some point, you know, instead of saying, I'll give you the thing if, you know, if you give me something else, or I'll give you the thing if, you know, whatever, you know, under the following circumstances. And the circumstances happen to be that at some point you're going to return it. But that has nothing to do with the quality of the gift. Right, it's a practical, you know, add-on, extraneous condition. That's one way to look at matana menas lahachzir shma matana. Meaning, it's misleading. You should know, and in fact, it's legally an unqualified, you know, matana with an extraneous condition, and therefore it works. The other way to look at it, which is far more interesting, is that matana menas lahachzir, instead of the almanas hachzir being incidental, either the pragmatic impact or even just the way that it's formulated does cut into the quality, let's say, of your ownership. But nonetheless, it still is sufficiently valid, a transaction that it's chal. Anyways, we'll talk about that when we get to it. But either way, the Gemara says that matana menas lahachzir works for pidgin aben, and it works for trumas maestros, and it works for choshen mishpat ownership, and it works for lulav, and it works for, you know, the lulav and the dalad minim. Even though they require lachem on the first day, you can transfer the object to full ownership by means of matana menas lahachzir. There's one exception to this rule, and that is kiddushin. That's the line in the bottom of Amud Beis. So the Gemara says, "Amravashi, Elam Ravashi, Bikulu Koni." In all areas of halacha, matana menas lahachzir is effective. Levar meisha, with the exception of isha, levisha ein isha nikneis bechalipin, because an isha is not nikneis bechalipin. Whoa! So number one, we have this unbelievable chiddush that of all areas of the halacha, the only area which matana menas lahachzir is ineffective is Kiddushin. And then, to top it all off, somehow the Gemara says that it's connected to Chalipin. So again, there are two, let's keep with, you know, two for the moment, two broad ways to understand this Gemara and this connection. Right? One is that it looks a lot more consequential than it is. Conceptually, it's really not consequential at all. And if you look at Tosas, and this is what we read last week, Bali tells us to say, what's this connection to Chalipin? Chalipin is not a matana menas lahachzir. Ah, the Gemara in the Darim on Daf Mem Ches seems to say that typically when you give a kinyan sudar in the case of a kinyan sudar, you return the object. That's true. That's typically what's done. But if the fellow insists on keeping it, and it wasn't explicated that he would return it, he could. So it's not like it is matana manas lahachzir, or what the Gemara calls kni amanas lahachzir. Oh, kni amanas lahachno, sorry. It only looks like it. So, and either way, the way the Gemara is written, it doesn't sound like, the Gemara is saying matana manas lahachzir is no good because of chalipin. It's not saying chalipin is no good because of matana manas lahachzir. Right? So what is going on? So the Bali Tosa say, no, it's not a big deal. The only reason Matana Manas Lahachzir doesn't work in Kiddushin is because it looks like Chalipin. Because typically people give Chalipin back, right, even though they could insist on keeping it, therefore the appearance of Matana Manas Lahachzir and Chalipin is the same. And since Chalipin is excluded, why is Chalipin excluded? Because it's Snayu v'Pachas Mishava Pruta, the Gemara Dav Gimel. So since Chalipin is excluded, Matana Manas Lahachzir is excluded because it is similar to it. People will confuse them. How can you say that something which is Miskadeshes Min HaTorah, right, is going to be dismissed, right? You're being Matur Neshes Ish L'Shup, says Tosis. No, that's Afkinu Rabbanu L'Kiddush. It's another Afkinu. Another Afkin. That is how Tosfos reads the Gemara. Which basically means that Matana Manas Lahachzir in principle also works in Kiddushin, and that this Gemara is a Din D'Rabbanan with the impact of a Daraisa, but not saying anything more. However, according to other Rishonim, who don't think this is a Din D'Rabbanan based on Afkinu, the Gemara certainly seems to be equating the flaw in Chalipin and the flaw in Matana Manas Lahachzir. Again, Bali Tosis on the Shittah, so we're going to read the end of Tosis in a couple of minutes. They think that the problem with Chalipin is a problem of not being Mamon, not being Kesef, but you can't say that about Matana Manas Lahachzir because it is Mamon. Therefore, the only way to explain the equation of the Gemara is to explain it as a Din D'Rabbanan with an expanded impact through Afkinu. In other words, I'm just trying to show you it's hard to know what came first, the chicken or the egg. But the truth is that the Bali Tosis view, which is very dochak if you read the Gemara, is very compelling when you put the two topics together, given their view of both of them, or certainly the view of Chalipin. However, again, for other Rishonim, how are we going to explain this connection? So there were some who didn't have this girsa and this connection. Miri has a day that says there's no connection in the Gemara between Matana Manas Lahachzir and Chalipin. They're two different things. But most Rishonim think there is a connection, and we need to understand what that connection would be. Was there a question? Yeah.
When you get married, you give a woman whatever, a fruit or whatever. Don't you get that fruit tobacco when the marriage is consummated? When you get married.
Why?
Oh, Masha
Kansi Shakan about. That's not really. She, first of all, she can keep things that she.
Is that whatever you give her for the wedding? Is it one of our
son? No. This is a gift. This is a personal gift. She can keep a personal gift. And that wouldn't work. Yeah.
I'm no trouble with the expression, Tarkas or Mafkin. We're talking about the Kona show, Kiddush of Kona. So it's given to the Machna voluntarily. So why is it a tofus? The Machna holds on to us. It's not a tfisa.
Are you asking another?
The expression, tofus. He's not tofus anything. It was given to him voluntarily.
Oh, you can look at Tosis. So let's read the Tosis very quickly.
In the case of Chalipin.
Yeah, I understand. Let's read the Tosis quickly. Tosis on the bottom says, then you also see that I didn't make it all up. Vim Tomar, the bottom Tosfos on Vav Amud Beis. Vim Tomar b'mai damu lechalipin. In what way is this comparable to chalipin? Imishim dechalipin hodri. If it's because typically, or whatever. If it's because chalipin usually is returned. In other words, the kone gave the makne a sudar, a pen. Let's say, okay. So instead of the makne keeping the pen, he's going to return it. So the Tosa says, "Habechalipin gufayu Omar ben Adarim beperakashutfim the tafas le mitvasi." The Gemara says in Adarim that while typically the makne returns the object to the kone,
right.
If he insists on keeping it, he can keep it.
Why do you call that tofes?
Tof the Kohen.
It was given to him voluntarily. He's not tofes.
No, tofes means he continues to hold on to it.
He's holding on to it.
Tfisa means he's... If he holds on to it and he won't...
He grabs it. He didn't grab anything.
No, it doesn't mean grab. He's holding on to it. If he continues to hold on to it,
okay,
we don't take it from him. That's a typical expression the Gemara uses many times. He tafas mafkinan or lo mafkinan.
It's always where he grabs something from, like...
No, that's tokaf. That's tafas... That's tokfo. That means he grabbed it. Tafas just means he's holding on to it.
Okay.
Vinir Lari, Delav Khalipin, who it isn't Khalipin, you're right. Umidrabanan who Delava Kiddushin, Shadaraka Olam Lahaksar Khalipin, because people usually give it back. The Hani Kain Khalipin Dami, therefore it looks like Khalipin. Vasalimar Ishaniklus Bhalipin. Hilka Khafkin Rabban the Kiddushamina, therefore the Khacham uprooted the Kiddushin. Teda the Ib Khalip if Ki Khalip if it was really Khalipin, the Mekar Khan, how would it work in Dini Mamanis? Bahai Mana. Right? If Matan Manasa Achsa was really Alpidin, was called Khalipin, or they do this. They even told us wasn't really. It was more that Khalipin is Matan Manasa Achsa than Matan Manasa Achsa is Khalipin. But okay, that's that. Anyways, last week we going back to Gimel Amud for a minute. We discussed Rashi Shita. Rashi takes the view in the Gemara. Right? What does it mean? Chalipin is snayu b'pachas m'shav pruta v'yishav pachas m'shav pruta lo mekanya nafsha. So Rashi says gnai hu la. Right? It is be demeaning for her. Right? It's an embarrassment for her, demeaning to her. Right? To be subject to kiddushin with something which in theory can be accomplished with esan pruta. Okay. Question is, what did Rashi really mean? So Tosis, I'm not going to read the whole thing again. We went through last week, the first half of the Tosis, and we tried to prove that, in my opinion at least, that Tosis interpreted Rashi in a very radical way, in a very extreme way. Because all Rashi really says is that what Rashi says, Isha lo mekanya nafsha d'gnayu la, is referring to the question, why if I give a pruta, right, a pruta valued kli, b'toras chalipin, why does the fact that it's nayu b'pachos have any relevance? In the end of the day, I'm giving something worth $100. So Rashi says, d'gnayu la, meaning giving something, using a mode of kinyan, which, right, allows for less than a pruta, right, that kind of taints the whole category, and in that sense it makes a gnaila. For some reason Tosis read Rashi or assumed that even if Rashi means what I just said he means, implicit in that is that the only problem of less than a pruta is a problem of kpeda. But Pashtus, I would have said that if you ask Rashi the question, if you interview Rashi, right, and you call him up, you interview him, right, and you say to him, well, what's the problem of Kiddushin less than a pruta? If I was a guessing man, right, never mind a betting man, I would say, Rashi's not going to tell you the problem is Gnai Hula. He's going to say there's no Shem Momon. How come here he says Gnai Hula? The answer is because he's not explaining something so simple here as what's wrong with less than a pruta. He's explaining what's wrong with a pruta, the Torah's chalipin, just because, in theory, chalipin could be with less than a pruta. There he's saying gnayula, right? But Tosis asks the question against Rashi. Tosis says, and what if she's a modest person, or one who wants to get married at any cost, and she's willing to accept less than a pruta? And what if she is an aristocrat, right, who is demeaned even by a tirkava dedinra, right? In very Beis Shammai-esque fashion. The Gemara later on, Daf Yud Aleph Mid Aleph, says, according to Beis Shammai, right, it's not a pruta, it's a dinar. Says the Gemara, what do you mean? Because the woman, the typical Jewish woman, perceives that, you know, that a pruta is insufficient for kiddushin. So what are you going to say about Banta de Rabbi Anai, right, who think that tirkava de dinra is not good enough for them, or is minimum for them? Then the Gemara says, and what are you going to do? B'savra v'kibla, pashtayana v'kibla. Now there is a debate between Rashi and Tosas. Are we talking about Banta de Rabbi Anai, or are we talking about the dinar people, Beis Shammai, who are saying, and what if they accept less than the dinar? There's a debate among the Rishonim, the Shittel and Odil Min, Ma'ari Be'rav, and others say, no. Even for Beis Shammai, the Gemara never thought that according to Beis Shammai, a woman who accepts less than a dinar, that she can be mevater on the standard. No. We're just talking about Banta de Rabbi Anai. We're saying, if Banta de Rabbi Anai, who are known to have, you know, very aristocratic tastes, if they want to slum, I guess, you know, and accept a dinar plus, you know, but minus tirkev and a dinra, maybe that should work for them. But no one ever thought that less than a dinar should work. Why? So the Ma'ariv Be'rav and the Shittel and Odil Min later on in Yud Aleph from an Aleph say, you know, why? Because mid Beis Hillel, Nishma LeBeis Shammai. Would anybody think that for Beis Hillel, if a woman said, I'm willing to accept less than a pruta, that it would work? So what's so ironic about that is, that's exactly what Tosas did think that Rashi said, and is asking. And they're quoting the Beis Shammai Gemaras. Well, Tosas doesn't hold like Ma'ariv Be'rav, or the Shittel and Odil Min. Tosas, Rashi, the Ramban, they all say no. The Gemara was saying, even for Beis Shammai, if somebody's willing to accept more than a pruta but less than a dinar, maybe it should work. Right? That's number one. Of course, the other point is that just because I say that you can't, even if I say you can't go less than a pruta, does that mean you can't go less than a dinar for Beis Shammai? Maybe you can't go less than a pruta for Beis Hillel because that's the Rubicon of shame mamon. But when it comes to dinar of Beis Shammai, right, that's not the Rubicon of Shem Mamon. Beis Shammai agrees that in other areas where you require Mamon, that a Pruta equivalent is sufficient. It's about Mamon Shel Kpeda, or Mamon Shel Gnai, or whatever. So maybe that's more subjective. So either way, there are good reasons to argue with the Shittel and Odil Min and with Ma'ariv Be'rav. But by the same token, what Tosas did with Rashi was basically say, why don't you apply, are you applying Beis Shammai standards here? Anyways, in the end, Tosas rejects Rashi because of all this. Tosas also points out that the way Rashi reads the Gemara, why did the Gemara think that Chalipin should work in Hava Mina? Because it works in Sadeh. But Tosas says, and so does Kinyan Chazaka, and so does Kinyan Shtar. How come we don't look to Sadeh as the Makar for Kinyan Shtar? And how come we don't argue that Chazaka should work in Kiddushin because Shtar works? Because Chazaka works in Sada. Right? Therefore, Tosas, and we'll see what they say in just a minute, they reject the whole thing. What we said with Rashi last week was maybe Tosas' reading of Rashi is too extreme. And all Rashi really was trying to explain was something else, but that something else is very important. What is that something else? And this is, I think, how the Ramban read Rashi, and I think it owes a lot to the Rambam's view. The Rambam in Halacha Chav Dalid of Philosetius, as we saw last week, says that the problem of Matana Manas Lahachzir in Kiddushin is that it's lacking in Hana. But of course there is some temporary Hana, meaning I was trying to suggest that for the Rambam, there's something called Kesef Shel Hana, and that we see this throughout. He says it by Milva, as the Avnei Miluim also points out. He says it by Arev, Neved Kanani, as Revelvel points out in one of his letters. The Rambam seems to have an idea that the Kesef of Kiddushin has to have a built-in kind of minimal kavod or respect quotient. That's maybe a blunt. So the Ramban says that's a pshat in Rashi. He doesn't quote the Rambam. But I suspect if it wasn't for the Rambam, then the Ramban wouldn't be saying this for Rashi. Namely, he says, what does Rashi mean? Not that it's a low plug And that's the answer to Tosis's question. They believe most people, you know, won't settle for less than a pruta. So batla daito, it's a kalada. That's what the Tosa Rosh says, and the Ritva says, or maybe what that really means is, even if you say it, that you need not only kesef, right, but you need kesef shalhana. Anyway, that's what we discuss with Rashi, and that I think is a very fruitful perspective. What I want to discuss now is two other, at least really more than two, but for tonight, very quickly at least, two other positions. One is Tosos, and the other one is the Rambam. Yeah.
Is the kesef of Hanora linked to the fact Almanach Lahachzer? What happens if we're a true matana? Without it?
Right, the Almanach Lahachzer is what makes it less. It's like a, call it a, you know, a flaw, you know, in the Hana aspect of this matana. That's formally and technically matana Almanach Lahachzer Shema Matana. That's what I'm saying is that Rashi, and certainly the Ramban says it this way. The Ramban says, where do I get this from? This Pshat Rashi, where do I get it from? Vavmid Beis. And then if you look at Vavmid Beis, he says, look what I wrote on Vavmid Beis. Turn to the Ramban of Vavmid Beis, he's a little even more expansive there. Namely, he didn't read, like Tosos, that the Gemara's connection between Matano Manas Lahachzer and Chalipin was a Dindra Rabban and Afkin Rabban of the Kedusha Minei. He thought that what the Gemara was saying was that there's a fundamental connection between Chalipin and Matano Manas Lahachzer. These are two Kinyanim Daraisa that work in other areas of Halacha and specifically do not work in Ishus. Why? The answer is the common, I'm expanding a little, but this is clearly what it means. The common denominator between Isnaihu Bepachos Mishava Pruta, the category allows for less than a Pruta, and the case, even though they're not the same, but they share something. Matana Manas Lahachzer, the common denominator is each is deficient, not in the Shem Kesef, not in the formality of the Mamon, but each is a little bit of a Pchisas HaKavod, built in, structured in. One, because it's temporary, or it comes to an end, or it's qualified by return. The other because it belongs to a category in which there are cases, right, that are less than a pruta. And if the whole category doesn't qualify as kesef shalano. Kesef shalano is a common denominator that links these two things, although the two things are different. That's how I'm reading the Toso. That's how I'm reading, sorry, the Ramban's understanding of Rashi. Which I think is really the understanding of Rashi. Yeah.
Why is Matana Masahasir so different from a milva? I mean, after all,
Matana Masahasir has nothing to do with the milva. I mean, there is a. The Rambam happens to say the same idea about Matana Masahasir's being ineffective in Kiddushin as he does another Chiddush about milva. But the cases are totally, totally different. Meaning, the problem in Matan Omnas Lahachzer is, the flaw in Matan Omnas Lahachzer is, that even though in the temporarily, right, or until the implementation of the Tanai, it's a perfectly normal Nesina. The problem is that it's not going to be permanent. The problem in Milva is not that it isn't lasting, the impact is lasting. The problem is that there's no Nesina. It's Mineila in a way. Meaning, we're not being Mekadesh with the Hanos Mechilas Amilva. We're being Mekadesh with the money itself. Right? The outstanding money that I owe you. But I'm not giving you that because Milva Lahotzon did not. So you get the value there, but you don't have the kavod of getting a real Nesina. So in a way, it's a parallel opposite manifestation of the same thing. Opposite because the hana you get is very undeniable and very permanent. In other words, you got debt relief, $1 million or $10, whatever it is. $10 that you'd have to draw out of your bank account, right, is now taken neutralized and taken care of. But because there was no Maisa Nesina, right, it's a little bit low mechubad. Right? The other one is totally mechubad because I gave you my watch. Except that at some point you're going to have to give it back. That makes it a little low mechubad. Chalipin is a little low mechubad because even though I'm giving you my watch, I could have given you a handkerchief, which is worth less than a pruta, and it would have been just as a good. So one is low mechubad because of the mode of the kenyan. The other is low mechubad because of the lack of a concrete nesina. The third one is low mechubad because it's not enduring, even if it's for extraneous reasons that it's not enduring.
Where is the
common denominator in all three for the Rambam is...
Where is the mice in the scene in the Adam Choshev?
That is Hana itself. That's not... We'll get to it when we discuss Hana more.
It was also Hana. There's no one has seen it.
Right. But because it's money, so the absence of a Nesina is a flaw. And because Adam Choshev is pure Hana, it's like Rekod Lefanai, you know, Amnas Shadaber, you know, Alayach Leshilto. We'll talk about it. Which one's yes, which one's not. Yeah.
So how would Rashi answer Tosa's question about the Chazaka? Okay.
So that is still a very good question. The Ramban and the Rajba and others jump into that question. They say, number one, with regard to Chazaka, the Ramban has a terrific line. The Ramban says, Chazaka only works for things in which there's a kinyan aguf. If you're going to acquire something fully, as a cheftza, let's say, then there's something called chazaka. And that's, Ishus is not that kind of kinyan. Nice. Right? Not all Rishonim are so excited about that. The Rajba, not because they're saying that Isha is a kinyan aguf, although the Tashbates may have that line and the Tosa Rush and so on, in some sense. We've talked about that already. But because the Rajba isn't so convinced that Chazaka only applies when there's a Kenyan Aguf. Okay, that's one. The other is, they say, listen, no one is suggesting that everything that works for Sadeh automatically works for Isha. Maybe things that are in the satellite of Dine Mamanis, we'll see this in Tosas in a minute, too. Just that Tosa says it even more sharply. And Chazaka isn't. Okay. So that's another approach.
This thing is like Mamon, basically.
What?
They're saying this thing is like Mamon.
Or at least it's close enough that it, or it's of the category, let's say, it's a Mamon type category that makes sense more in Ishus. Okay, that's another. The Ravid says something amazing. The Ravid says that the Kicha Kicha Misnei Ephron is not a din at all in comparing Kinyane Sadeh and Kinyane Isha. It's a din in comparing the Maras HaMachpelah and Kinyane Isha. He says, and that wasn't Nikna B'Chazaka, and it wasn't Nikna B'Shtar. It was Nikna B'Kesef, maybe Chalipin. There are some Mefarshim Bala Torah, by the way, who say that the Maras HaMachpelah was Nikna B'Chalipin. Some people say that the Bechor of, you know, the Yaakov and Esav story was Nikna B'Chalipin. The Sfarno, in particular, likes to find a lot of Kenyan Sudars, a lot of Kenyan Chalipins in Chamisha Chomshei Torah before we get to Rus. So that's an interesting idea. I always like to point out, again, because we've talked about the philosophical aspect too, like this whole idea, what does it mean, Ishus a Kenyan? What does it mean? Of course, the idea of Kenyan Shel Hana, Kenyan Shel Kavod, is already something that sets it apart as a Din Doraisa. If you say Matanam and Aslahachser and Chalipin, and Milva, let's just say they usually work when you need Kinyane Mamon, and they don't work in Ishus because you need this added element eliminating Gnayola. That's an important philosophical perspective too, in Ishus, right? And Kinyan Kesef Shalana, Kesef Shalkama, and so on. The Ravid's perspective, which is that we learn from the Maras HaMachpelah, not from regular Sadeh, is also a very important idea. Right? I mean, the Maras HaMachpelah was not a simple acquisition. It was a legacy acquisition for Klal Yisrael. I've said this before, but that's why, you know, everybody's bowing down. You know, Avram's bowing down, and the Bnei Ches are bowing down, and Ephraim's bowing down, and you know, they say to him, "This, you know, Nisielo Kim Atab Sochenu," and all of a sudden, everybody's bowing down. Meaning, he thought he could buy this as a, you know, as a private acquisition, They're basically saying, you as the representative of, you know, of Klal Yisrael, we'd love to sell you this field. And then he's saying, okay, I have to buy it now in the, as an ambassador for Klal Yisrael the Dore Doros. Right? So I think that also upgrades. I think any Sada, number one, Karka is upgraded. Karka isn't Cheftza. Karka is about having rights in something, not ever owning it. That's true for Sada in general. Right? But certainly the Maris HaMachpelah is an acquisition. You look at the, you know, what Chazal say about the Maris HaMachpelah and what, you know, if you want to get mystical, what the Zohar says about the Maris HaMachpelah was not just a place, it wasn't just a place to bury the Avos. That also would have made it a legacy for Klal Yisrael. Right? And it's tefillah and this and that. But the way some of them say it is, oh, it's the place to bury the Avos because it's the Maris HaMachpelah. You know, not the Maris HaMachpelah because it's the place in which they happen to bury the Avos. Whichever it is, it doesn't matter. They're all pretty good. I like a lot, there's a comment, Rav Shem Trefal Hirsch has a comment in his Perush al HaTorah where he says, you know, Kedarko, he says, like, you know, people think, you know, that the Gemara says, Kicha, Kicha, Mestei Ephron. And, you know, it's like demeaning to, you know, to Ishus. He addresses this question, found it in recent years. So he says, no, what you have to realize is that, like, why did Avram buy this field? Right? He didn't buy, it wasn't a real estate deal. This is in addition to the things I just said and the Ravid. He said it wasn't a real estate. He went out of his way in order to buy this field, out of a sense of love and devotion to his wife Sarah, to give her a proper kvura. So just to add, I think what he means, it's not just it's not, you know, the, of course we do learn somewhat kesef kiddushin from Kol Shem Mishpat, but the point is that this Kol Shem Mishpat was an Avinu Ezer too. And I would even add that the idea that kavura, the whole story in Parshas Chayisara, you know, is a testament, you know, to his devotion to his marriage, and to the fact that even after marriage seems to be over, because one of the parties is sadly, you know, gone from the scene, right? There are still his chayvuyos, and there's still a legacy. Right, it doesn't really end. That sense, not emotionally, and not in terms of obligations, and not in terms of the legacy of Klal Yisrael. So in a certain sense, you know, instead of just saying, you know, you buy a field, you buy a wife, you buy a... Number one, a field isn't so simple, right? The Maris HaMachpelah is not so simple. And the Maris HaMachpelah, it was bought as a kiyum, in the Yavos v'Imahos, and in the, you know, there's a beautiful, some of the Mefarshim say beautiful things about, you know, about Adam and, you know, Adam and Chava were in the Maris HaMachpelah, right? When Avram and Sarah, it says, Vayakam, you know, Hasadeh. It's, you know, so some of the Chazals say, you know, that, you know, here Adam and Chava in a way, you know, and by means of Chava through Adam, you know, that was you know, original sin, right? And it compromised, you know, the world, right? To try to get back to, you know, Kodem Achei, according to Ramban, even it's not just a Christian idea. There are many, you know, many Chazals also like this, and it also, in a way, poisoned, right, aspects of marriage too. Right? Right after it's, you know, Vayisposhashu and all of that. So some of the Midrashim say that in a way, like Avram and Sarah were a way of restoring, you know, part of what had been lost by, I don't want to get too whatever-y, but by Adam and Chava. Like Adam and Chava were like applauding in the Maris HaMachpelah, practically, you know, by Yaakov, meaning they got elevated, you know, by the Avram and Sarah, and, you know, and the rest of the Avos and Imahos joining them, you know, in this kever. I'm just adding, I'm taking it much further than Rav Shem Trefal Hirsch did, but meaning it wasn't stama an acquisition. It had a lot to do with Ishus. And in some respects, you can, you know, according to some sources, even more than that. So, what was I answering? Oh, you asked me about the Chazakah. So, according to the Ravid, that we're not even learning from Sada, we're learning from Dafka, from Maris HaMachpelah. So, I think that's a question. It's legitimate. Like, why? What the Maris HaMachpelah is an example of Sada. The answer is, it's much more than that, from every point of view. Both in the way that he can do. I always like to quote the Rabbeinu Yonah.
Why is the Ravid saying this?
In terms of the Ravid is trying to answer the question, what about Chazakah? And what about Shtar? So he says, true, Chazakah and Shtar work for Sada, but the Kicha Kicha Mistei Ephron isn't Sada as an example, it's Stei Ephron in particular. I'm asking, if that's really the truth, right? I mean, according to the Ravid, that's the truth. So, like, what's the yichus of Stei Ephron? It's a hechatimtzi of Sada. So just because it happens to be that this one, right? You might say, yeah, that's exactly whatever. I'm trying to say more than that. What I'm saying is, the kicha kicha, right, is to Stei Ephron. It's to the Maris HaMachpelah, because that was an acquisition that had great significance, stature, spirituality, great transcendence, generally, and even in the area of Ishus, practically in Ishus, mystically in Ishus, whatever, wherever you want to stop with it, you can stop. There's still plenty there that is relevant and applicable. Okay. How do the Balei Tosis, what do they do with this? So Tosis themselves come up with the following. This we didn't get a chance to read last time. Tosis says, V'haki perusha. One second. We're in the middle here of Tosis. Yeah. Let's start from L'chein Yor L'Rabbeinu Tam. Everybody have that?
Yeah.
L'chein Yor L'Rabbeinu Tam. This is how many lines? Five lines down from the Tosis, from the beginning. Our Gemara says, Isha v'pachas m'shava pruta lo mekanya nafsha. What does that mean, nafsha? Her soul is not going to be winning. Her soul, what are we talking about here? Zohar's, right? I think I just was. But, meaning what? Meaning her personality, her something. So Tosa says, no, that's why Rashi said Gnayula. So this is the low Kpeda Talia Milsa. We're not talking about Kpeda here. Right? So drop the Makanya Nafsha. My understanding of this Rabbeinu Tam, both in Sefer Yashar and here, is that he changed the Girsa out of conviction. He didn't have a Ksavyad without this Girsa. I think in all the texts, it's Lo Makanya Nafsha. Right? And it's also hard to believe, I'll quote my Jewish history mentor. Lectio difficilia. I mean, who's going to put in, Lomakanya Nafsha? Who's going to put in the word Nafsha in Lomakanya? Right? It's a strange. And most of the Rishonim try to deal with the Lomakanya Nafsha, even when they try to neutralize it, because it doesn't really seem that there's another gear. So Rabbeinu Tam, out of conviction, sometimes just change yourselves. But anyways, but he says it's lo bikpeda talia milsa, therefore drop it, that word. Elohainu tam mishum de gomer kicha kicha mistei afron. Dichsiv be kesef. Ubepochus mishum apruta lo mikri kesef. Less than a pruta is not a shame kesef. Aye, so what was a havamina? The hamaksha shehiksha tchila veimon achanami bishtar b'chazak alo hiksha. He wasn't bothered by Shtar and Chazak. He wasn't saying everything that applies to us, a Sada applies to an Isha. Because that's obvious. Not so obvious to other Rishonim, right? They give answers. Right? Later on, the Gemara needs a Raya that there's something called Kiddushe Shtar. They didn't learn that from Sada. Just like they didn't ask. Maybe Chazakah should be a candidate. There's no Havamina, says Tosus, that everything that applies to a Sada applies to an Isha. When there's a Shavapruta in a Sudar, then the fact that it seems to be comparable or similar or maybe a subcategory even of kesef, that's the reason that we thought that we're learning out, not for anything that applies to Sada applies to Isha. Kesef, which applies to Sada, applies to Isha expansively, namely kesef v'kola mista eif. Right? And it's peripheral or satellite cases. Bochi perusha, ve machanam isha tikna isha b'chalipin kashiesh posa chalipin shavaputa ke'en kesef tikra. Meaning, there was never a havamina that Kiddushin, we'll see in a moment the Ran disagrees, there was never a havamina that Kiddushin should work with less than a pruta bidin chalipin. The only havamina was that Kiddushin lamalami pruta would work ke'en kesef tikra, as a subcategory of kesef. Tvei mishtar sheyesh bo shava pruta. What do you say about a shtar sheyesh bo pruta? Are you going to say that that works midin kesef? Yerushalmi actually does say that if you makadesh, you know, with a you know, in a way that doesn't work, you know, b'torah shtar, but the shtar, the piece of paper, is worth a pruta, then you can use it as kesef b'diavet. You know, today a lot of people, so you go to weddings, people. What's that?
But the Eid Kiddushin stay up for the
Mesiris HaKsuva. So it's like a newfangled thing. I don't really believe in it so much, to be honest. Because Eid HaKasim HaKarsi, and really shouldn't need that. But everybody's trying to figure out, like, where did this come from? So some people suggest that, oh, if there's something wrong with the Kiddushin Kesef, you know, then maybe the Mesiris HaKsuva is like the equivalent of, okay. There's nothing wrong with it, by the way. I mean, some people are very machped to do it, and it's fine. I'm not I'm not against. I just not necessarily for. Okay. Anyways, so Tosis here is saying maybe Shtar Sheshbo Kesef should be like Chalip and Sheshbo Kesef and Havamina. He says no. Why? The eighth source you use for Shtar Pruta. Now again, this is fascinating. We'll try to get back to it sometime later in the year, but the Gemara says in Gittin that if you write a get on Isuri Ano, it's kosher. Right? But there's no Gemara anywhere, as far as I know, that says that if you write a shtar kiddushin al Isuri Ano, that's kosher. Tosus says that here, because he equates Gittin and kiddushin. Right? As far as the objective evidence is concerned, of course, a shtar does not need to be shavapruta, but it's very possible that a shtar shali surah ano is excluded from kiddushin. Ah, biyotza v'hoisa, you'll ask me, or how could you distinguish between shtar kiddushin and shtar get? Right? The answer may very well be something that we discussed in the Bal Korcha topic, which is the Torah says by gittin v'nasan v'yada, right? And maybe Xo certainly thinks that it's not a real kinyan. I mean, it's a result of a kinyan, but it's kinyan because of, not a maisa kinyan, but because of nesina. Right? That's how we explain that why gittin can be bal korcha midoraisa, and why there can be gito v'yado boin kiachas. But it's quite possible that kiddushin learns many dinim from get, but it is a kinyan. And since it's a kinyan, maybe it's not going to work Balkarcha. Well, we know it doesn't work Balkarcha. Maybe that's the reason. Maybe it won't work if it's Boin Kiyacha. That's a separate question. And maybe it won't work Ali Suryana either, if you think that Isuryana is excluded from Kinyanin, right? Which is a debate. Okay. But Tosis here says, no, Vyatsa Vahaisa, whatever works for get works for Shtar Kiddushin, and it's not just that it's not a pruta, it's that it's the Shem Mamon is irrelevant completely, and you can write it Ali Surya. No, other Rishonim disagree. Poskim discuss this in Shulchan Aruch. There are numerous Poskim who think that a Shtar Kiddushin needs to be not Ali Surya, no, or cannot be Ali Surya. No. Yeah.
How do you accomplish the scene with something that's Sosrana? Can you actually give something that you're not allowed to give?
Well, you're not allowed to get pleasure from it, but you're using it. You're giving it as a shtar. You're not giving it as kesef. But it's like you're not giving it as kesef. You're not giving it as kesef.
I understand that.
You're giving it as a raya.
Okay, but isn't
a kinyan that's a raya, but
like hefker, like it doesn't exist.
Well, it's not. That's not really. I mean, we'll discuss it. But isurei hana is you're not allowed to derive pleasure from it.
Right.
There's a debate between the raven and the.
No,
that's Kiddushei Kesef, or we're talking about a get.
I'm going the opposite, a get.
What?
Giving a get, it's mutter. They're saying by giving a get, it's okay.
Yeah, the Gemara says that.
Right.
Right.
But I'm saying, but you're getting a no.
Why are you getting a no?
Because you give the wife a get. You're accomplishing something you want to accomplish.
Well, that's not hana. That's that undone. You could be happy, you could be sad, you could be... You know, there's no hana in that. The only time there's the requirement of hana would be for one of two reasons, right? One of three reasons. Number one, it would be for one of three reasons. Number one, you need the equivalent of shamapruta. You need the equivalent of kesef for shamapruta. That, of course, you don't have. Although we'll discuss what kiddushin b'sureyana drabanan. We'll discuss or shelo kederach hana. So even then, we can discuss. Number two, if you take the view that any object of Yisrael is not kinyanable, meaning not subject to a legal kinyan. Now, in Gittin, the fact is that it works. That's a Gemara, Gittin Davcha. So the Ksos's conclusion, that's the reinforced, yeah, because it results in a kinyan, but it isn't it's a nesina. You can give a nesina, I can give you this if it's also Bahana, I can put it in your hand. It's not a Sina. If the Nasina is considered an act of Kinyan, then maybe Surano is not subject to Kinyan. That's the Ksosa's Raya. Right?
I mean, isn't it an application of a Kinyan?
No. The result is that it undoes the Kinyan Kiddushin, or it's Konet. Again, we have mixed information. Remember the Mishnah's language, Vikone es Aksma, B'shnei Drachim. So is that the undoing of the, is it only the undoing of the Ishas, or is it also a Kinyan Atzma? Whatever. It's, whatever it is, that might be the reason the Nesina works, maybe, as opposed to, you know, more direct frontal, you know, kind of a Kinyan. But either way, I'm just pointing out that in Gittin, which is Bal Korchach, in which there's Gittav Yadabon Kiyachad, to say about it that there's Get, be Suryana, is one thing. To say that there's shtar b'suriana, not so pashut, Tosis here is saying it. Why they're saying it? Because they're trying to explain why it is not at all like chalipin. No one thinks you can do chalipin with a kli, shali surhana. Even though you don't need a pruta, right? But you do need a functional kli. Okay, let's continue. So then the Gemara says, Avo chalipin the shava pruta dom in the kesef. Mishani chalip in esnayu b'pachas mishani pruta v'im kain eina mitam kesef ela kinyan acherhu. The way that our tosis, our printed tosis view of Rabbeinu Tam goes is the hava mina of the Gemara is that chalipin is a satellite of kesef. I'll explain what I think that means in a minute. The maskana is kesef l'chud chalipin l'chud v'haraya esnayu b'pachas mipruta. Right? Oh. Then Tosa says, I'll explain more in just a second. Mim Tomar Hechasoka died at the nail of Sodom Ephron, Shatikna Isha Bechalipin, Hoste Ephron Gufalo Mikna Bechalipin. Golomatsinu Chalipin Lov de Kochavim. Would Marsa Machpela been, again, some of them Farshim say that it was Bechalipin. Sfarno and others, or Chaim, I think. He says it couldn't have been. For sure it wasn't. And it couldn't have been even if they wanted it to. Because a non-Jew doesn't have a kinyan with a non-Jew doesn't apply to chalipin. That's the question. How do you know that? Where does it say that? The Hamina b'Bechoros. Mid Yisrael b'chada of Kachom Nami b'chada. The Gemara in b'Bechoros seems to say that Klal Yisrael and non-Jews have mutually exclusive kinyanim. The way that a Klal Yisrael person does kinyanim is by definition different than a non-Jew. That's what the Gemara seems to say. So if that's true, and chalipin works for Jews, and obviously chalipin doesn't work for non-Jews, in which case, right? it couldn't have been, and if it couldn't have been, how could the Gemara even have a Hava Mina? So listen to the answer, one second.
The
Shlomo, one more second. The Hainu Lebar Michalipin Dumidi Yisrael Bechada Bechikam Midi Yisrael Bechada Kinin Chodash Bar Michalipin Shein B'Shneyem. Wow. Tosa says something very sensational. Not all Rishonim agree. Tosa says, Rabbeinu Tam says, actually, Kinin Sudar works for Jews and non-Jews alike. But the Gemara Bechara seems to be saying that they, you know, differ regarding Kinyanim. This is very important. Now, says Tosas, that's true about all other Kinyanim, but not about Chalipin. Why? Because we're in trouble? Like, what does that mean? You can't just say that. The Gemara sounds in Bechoros like, you know, that there's a different operating mechanism for Kinyanim of Jews and non-Jews. What's the answer? Goes back to what we said a little bit before, which also then sharpens the problem, but which is, what do we call, what does the word kinyan mean? Sam kinyan, chalipa. And it's the one that applies bein bekarka, bein b'metalto. Right? We talked last year, we learned Sanhedrin, right? We talked about Pshara. And the Gemara's case, certainly, the Gemara's discussing with Pshara, tzricha kinyan, pshara ein tzricha kinyan. It's Pshar Tzvich Kinyan. They're certainly talking about Tzudar. Could you substitute it for Chazaka or something else? So some of the Rishonim say, some of the Poskim say, and Simeon and Beis say, yes. But in the Gemara, the discussion of Pshar Tzvich Kinyan is about Kinyan Tzudar. Right? So is that a coincidence? What I was trying to explain was that Kinyan, Tzudar, right, isn't just the most ubiquitous, practically the most uniform. It's kishmo kein hu. It's the core and essence, I'll explain why in a few minutes, of what a kinyan is. So when the Gemara says, oh, darke kinyan, for Jews and non-Jews, they're by definition different, diverse, they have to be. What applies to one can't apply to the other. So Tosa says, yeah, that's true. But for everything but Kinyan Sudar. The answer is, yeah, because Kinyan Sudar is like the universal, uniform, ubiquitous Kinyan. There's something about it that makes it that. It isn't just that it's the easiest one to accomplish or the most popular one, what a popularity contest, right? It's ubiquitous and uniform and universal because it's very basic and elemental to what a Kinyan is. So that, of course, applies to Jews and non-Jews and even to the interaction of Jews and non-Jews. Right? It's very fascinating, though, that the Mishnah says later on Daf Chavav Amud Aleph, that Karka's nicknames Bekesef, Bishtar, Bechazaka. Right? That's why the Rishonim here are always asking the question that if you say Kicha, Kicha, Mistei Ephron, and you really think, if you don't start off by thinking Chalipin is a subcategory or related very strongly to Kesef, and it sounds like the yichus of allowing chalipin and kiddushin is just the fact that it's learned out from Sadeh, right? So that's why the Rishonim all ask these questions. Oh, so what are you going to say about chazaka? What are you going to say about shtar? Right, and so on. Fine. Why? Because that's what the Mishnah says. Kesef, shtar, chazaka. So these are the ones. Okay. So Rishonim already asked the question, Rabbeinu Tam, Sefer Yashar, Tosas Toch, and Tosas different Rishonim. And then the Bach and others ask this in Choshem Mishpat. The Mishnah says, Karka Niknes Bekesa Pishtar Bechazaka. So where's the Makar that Kinyan Sudar works? Right? So Rabbeinu Tam and Sefer Yashar, responding to this question, says, oh, because even after it's all, I'm adding these words, even after it's all done, namely that we've excluded Kiddushin, you know, we said, oh, the Hava Mina was Chalipin is a form of Kiddush, is a form of Kesef. And that's why we're not learning everything from Sadeh, we're learning Kesef from Sadeh. Kesef and broader Kesef. Right? That was the Hava Mina. And then the maskana is, no, it doesn't work because it's not even pokus mipruta and it's not kesef enough. Right? So now the question is, how, so who, is it still a satellite of kesef, but still different enough, right, that it doesn't qualify for kicha kicha? Or what we're saying is it's not a satellite of kesef at all. So Rabbi Tam says in Sefer Yashar, I'm adding all this in. He doesn't really say all that part of it. But what he does say is, how do we know that Kinyan Suda works in Karka if the Mishnah only says Kesef, Shtar, and Chazaka? So he says, because the Mishnah says Kesef. And when it's all finished in this discussion, that still includes Kinyan Chalipin. But what some of the other Rishonim say, and what some Achronim say, is that's not the right answer. The answer is Kinyan Suda is Stam Kinyan. Right? If everybody knows, you know, when we say Karka Niknas Bekesef Bishtar Bechazaka, we mean when it comes to the more, you know, specific type Kinyanim, the more specialized Kinyanim. But the universal, uniform, ubiquitous Kinyan, that goes without saying. In the same way that basically Rabbeinu Tam, it's ironic because, again, Rabbeinu Tam and Tosis is saying that's the pshat in the Gemara and Bechoros. Gemara and Bechoros says there's mutual exclusivity between Kinyani Yisrael and Kinyani Akum. So how could it be that an Akum has Kinyan Suda? And by the way, as I say, there are some Rishonim who think that he doesn't. He doesn't. But Rabbeinu Tam, many of the Rishonim think that he does, an Akum. So what do you do with the Gemara and Bechoros? The answer is no. Gemara and Bechoros is speaking about not elemental core basic Kenyan, everything else. So that's how some Rishonim explain the Mishnah and Chavav. But according to Rabbeinu Tam, what comes out is very fascinating. How much in the Havamina did we think this was Kesef, as opposed to being a Kesef satellite? And how much in the Maskana, right, when we differentiate between them, are we completely denying the link? Hard to know. Now, what do we mean when we say that Chalipin is a Kesef satellite, but maybe it's not fully Kesef? And we all know that Havamina also knew that it was a Snayabu Paksim Pruta. Oh. So here I think one could say one of two things. One is, within Kesef itself, that there are two perspectives, and maybe that's the difference between Kesef and Chalipin. Give you an example. There's a major, major debate. It really is in Rishonim already, but it became famous in the Poskim in Shulchan Aruch and Choshen Mishpat between the Sma and the Taz, and then joined by the Avnei Biluim and Avnu Ezer and the Nesivas in Choshen Mishpat. And that is regarding Kinyan Kesef Besada Bekarka. When it comes to Kinyan Kesef Bekarka, how does it work? Is it a formal kinyan, right? Or is it betoras, what we call tchilas piro, piron or tchilas piro? For example, I give you, I'm buying a $1 million property, and I give you a dollar. We're going to make the kinyan dollar. Now, the agreement is that you're going to end up giving me the rest of the funds, right? How do we look at this transaction? So we can say the formality, the formal mode of acquisition is the dollar. And that's not even the first dollar of the million. Right? It's just a dollar. Because it's a formal, symbolic kind of a kinyan. That's one way to look at it. Or, that's not it at all. It's, if I'm buying a $1 million field, then the kinyan kesef is for $1 million. But I don't have to give you the $1 million. I can give you tchilas piron, and I can do the rest, kifas milva. Right, but really, I'm buying the field with $1 million, not with a dollar, and a smichus das agreement that makes it conditional. Right, I'm only going to be serious about it if you give me another 999, however that goes. Right. So the Sma says that the dollar is not part of the million. And the million is not part of the kenyan. He calls that, you know, kinyan kesef. I'm saying it wrong. The Taz says that the dollar is not, but I just said it's the Taz. Sorry. The Sma disagrees. The Sma says, no, you acquire the karka with the full amount or with tchilas piron and eskifas milva. The dollar counts for the million, right? And the million is the real exchange. He says, I'll bring a raya. Part of the discussion now, is there a difference between karka and metalatra? It's an interesting question. There's more reason to think that metalkalin is piron and karka is of a symbolic kinyan kesef, because he may not be able to put a price to karka anyway. We will call one kinyan kesef, we'll call the other kinyan mos. Anyways, the Avnei Miluim thought that the Sma was right. The Taz objects to the Sma and says, well, we learn kicha kicha mistei Ephron. Right? Kiddushei Isha. You're going to say that's Piron? Much better to say that that's a symbolic kinyan in which what you give has nothing to do with the value of what you're getting. So the Avnei Miluim, this is something that we saw already in the Bal Korcha Das Sugya. Avnei Miluim says, no, I don't think that's right. I think the Sma is right. What are you going to say about Kicha Kicha Misteyafron and the dollar, you put a dollar price on the Ishas? He says, no, you're not putting a dollar price on the Ishas, you're putting a dollar price on the Kinyan of the Ishas. On the agreement. Remember, he was the one who said, he was quoting the Rajba, who said, you're not buying the woman, you're entering into a legal relationship with her. If you were buying the woman, you couldn't do that, number one. It's no kinyan aguf, and it's not. That's the famous Rajba in Vav Beis, right? When he explains Mekadesh B'milva. He says, every there would be a milva in every, there would be ribbis in every case. Because you're getting an ishus in the process. You know, it's like agar natar. So it says, no, that's ridiculous. You're not buying, it's a legal relationship. You're not acquiring anything. So the Avnei Miluim, ironically, I would have thought if that's what you're going to say, then you really would be offended by the notion of piron. But he says the other way. He says, so what? It's just a derech kinyan. For the derech kinyan, for the das, you can put a price on that. The Nesivus disagrees. Nesivus says he thinks that doesn't make any sense. And he says, not only that, listen how good this is. He says, well, matanu min al-sahachzir works in dine mamonis, in buying a field. So doesn't that prove that it isn't piron? It was, obviously, he doesn't think matanu min al-sahachzir is so extraneous. Anyway, this is the discussion. Why am I telling this to you now? It's a very important discussion about kicha kicha, about ishus, about sadeh. There's a very interesting Tosas Rid. Which we'll finish with next week. There's Hashem. We finish a few other things. I'm not going to read it now. But no one knows what it means. Or people are speculating what it means. I have a suggestion. The way that the Avnei Miluim understands the Tosas Rid, Tosfot asks a simple question. Same question that everybody's asking. Kalipa nisnayu b'pachas b'sham pruta, right? Isha b'pachas b'sham pruta l'makan yinafsha. So, but if he gives her a pruta, what's the big deal? Right? He can give her the same object. If he gives her a watch, so if he gives it to Rebbetar's kesef, it works. He gives it to Rebbetar's kalipa, it doesn't work. Like, what does that even mean? So he says something, okay, to explain the difference. We'll read it next week. The Avnei Miluim says, you know what he means by that something? He means that when he gives it b'toras chalipin, it's b'toras kesef. It's the Taz's view of kinyan kesef. As opposed to the Sma's view of kinyan kesef, which is piron or tchilas piron. Meaning, if there's a debate within Kinyan Kesef in Sada, and we paskin like the Sma, says the Tosas Rid, I'm giving you the simple form about what he means. What Chalipin is the Taz's view of Kesef from the perspective of the Sma. Everybody with me? No. Okay, well, I'm gonna get one more second. According to the Sma, what is Kinyan Kesef really? Piro. And if you're not putting the whole $1 million down for the Sada, so you're putting down a pruta. Tchilas piron. And the rest is Zakfala Bemil. How much are you buying the field for? $1 million. Right? But according to the Taz, you're buying the me. It's a symbolic Kenyan. Not a value, not an exchange of value. Right? You're buying the field for $1. Right? You made an agreement for that you're going to pay $1 million. That's a smichas das. Otherwise, you're not going to go away. You're not going to, be serious about transferring it unless you. That's a condition for your smichas das. And by the way, in that case, do you have to have fork over now, $999,999, or $1 million?
A million.
Right? So the Avnei Miluim says, don't we know, not like the Nesivas, don't we know that no one paskins like the Taz, we think that the Kinyan Kesef is the Sma, meaning it's Piron. He says, yeah, that's if you're talking about Kesef. But Chalipin, the Tosas Rid was saying, what is Chalipin as opposed to Kesef? It's a symbolic Kinyan with a Pruta. Or the equivalent of that, with a kli, let's say. Any kli. Even a kli less than a pruta. Because it isn't piron, it's a symbol. What the Taz thinks is kesef, bishsadeh, is what the, according to the Avnei Miluim, what the Tosas Rid thinks is chalipin. So the question, that's what the Gemara is saying. The fact that it's a snayu, b'pachas mi pruta, shows you it's different. I'm just now trying to explain in light of that. Like, what was the Havamina? What was the Maskana? According to the Tosas view, generally, which was that the Gemara never had a Havamina that anything that works for Sada works for Isha. They thought Kesef works for Isha, and we learned that from Sada. And the question is, how specifically do we mean Kesef? Let's say Kesef has satellites. Right? So one way to look at that is, yeah, Kesef has satellites. There's a Sma-type Kesef. There's a Taz-type Kesef, right? Okay. So even if we know that there are some differences, would you say they're so different that there are two types of Kinyanim, and if one works, it doesn't mean that the other will work? Or we're tweaking it. There are different, satellites of the same thing. And then the maskana is, yeah, but you can't, in Ochanami, they're different enough. And then you can discuss the question, and in Sada itself, when the Mishnah just says Kesef, Shtar, and Chazaka, so can Kesef include Chalipin, even though Chalipin doesn't work for Kiddushin, because it isn't enough Kesef? Well, I mean, the different. Even if you look at the language of the, you have to look at the language of the Ram, the language of Tosas. What? It's Kain Kesef, it's Kik Kesef, it is Kesef. How much was the Havamina that these are identical? It couldn't be totally identical. We always knew Khalip and Asnaya Bapaksavi Pruta. We always knew that the Ritva makes Sahara. The Ritva says, what was this Havamina? We always knew that Ain Peros Nasa Khalipin, and the Ain Madbeya Nasa Khalipin. And somebody's going to ask, you're going to ask, or maybe you did ask already last week. And according to Levi, we thought they were, maybe according to Levi, we didn't. But Levi says, Kelev Shamak now, right? We thought that they were the same. Meaning we always knew there were some differences, we were just arguing that those differences weren't sufficient, right? That it shouldn't be under the rubric. And the Maskana were saying what? that the rubric is tighter or that the differences are more significant? And if they're more significant, it has nothing to do with Kesef? Or it's Kesef 1, Kesef 2, and we only have a raya for Kesef 1. You need a raya for Kesef 2. But still, when it comes to Karka, and we say Karka's nicknames the Kesef, it's Kesef 1 and Kesef 2. So that's one way to look at it. Another way to look at it, maybe not so different than the other one, or maybe different, hard to say, not for now, is that what is Chalipin that is like Kesef and yet different than Kesef? The answer may be, I have to stop here in a minute, it's a kind of exchange or bar. It's Kishmo Kenhu, it's a Chalipin, a Chiluf, a kind of a barter. There's a difference between payment and barter. Barter is Be'en for a Be'en. Right? Even the language, I like to, Misha says later on, on Daf Chav Ches in Kiddushin, and then, you know, we have these cases in Bab Metzia, you know, in Daf Kuf, you know, famous ones, you know, Sumchas cases, you know. What happens in a Chalipin? Says the Mishnah, you pull one, right, and the other one comes through. Oh, you can almost like visualize it, you know. It's such a barter-esque, it's not just a result. It's an exchange. You might even argue, I'm not saying this is true for everybody, you know, in Kesef, we know who the Kone and who the Makne is. Because it's Kesef. You know, there's money, or even if it's Shava Kesef. We know what the Davar Nikne is, and we know what the Davar Kone is. In Chalipin, if it's not Shava B'Shava, we usually know what's the method of Kinyan, and who's the Kone and who's the Makne. But if it was Shava B'Shava, a Chamar and a Para, the only thing that makes one the Kone and the other Makne, if that does at all, is whoever does the Meshicha and takes the initiative. Or maybe the person interested in the whole thing. But per se, you might even argue that in real Chalipin, there's no Kone and there's no Makne. They're both Konim and they're both Maknim, or neither is a Kone and a Makne. They're exchanging, it's barter. So is barter Kesef? It's very close to it's an exchange of values, but it isn't based on the value, maybe only. It's based on, it's an exchange of the ends. Right? Yeah.
You're saying that because barter doesn't involve money, therefore
what I'm saying is it's a satellite of money.
But
it's not the same.
Therefore there is no Kone and Makne?
I'm saying I'm highlighting it by saying maybe there's no Kone or Makne, meaning it's not clear who is the Kone and who's the Makne. They're exchanged. They're both Kone and they're both Makne, or neither's. They're just exchanging. What I'm saying is, if I buy
an actual exchange, what?
No. What I'm saying is, if I buy your watch, right? If I buy your watch, so clearly I'm acquiring your watch. What am I acquiring it with? Value. Even if I give you Shava Kesef as a secondary state. In other words, I'm buying your watch for $100, right? Then I put my hand in my pocket and I see I don't have enough cash. I say, okay, I'll give you my hat and my scarf, right? But that isn't the deal. The deal is I'm buying your watch for $100. We'll talk about Shava Kesef, Kekesef. And I'm paying you, instead of, if I don't have Kesef, I'm paying you Shava Kesef. That's not what happens in Chalipin. In Chalipin, you have a hat and I have a scarf. I want a scarf and you want a hat. So who, you tell me, who's the Kone, who's the Makne? And if I pull my hat, your hat, then automatically it's like you're pulling my, you're not. The scarf becomes yours. If you pull the scarf, the hat becomes mine. What I'm saying is, that's exchange or barter. Now, does that have anything to do with? Of course, it does. I mean, is there overlap? Are they satellite? I mean, are they totally disconnected? I don't think they're totally disconnected. It's a different way to exchange, you know, in a value, or in a symbolic way, value if they're not totally equal, right? But it's not the difference between Kesef and Shava Kesef. It's one be'en and another be'en. That's what I mean to highlight it by saying. Who's the Kone, who's the Makne, is a murkier issue here. Lemaisa, it's certainly murkier. I'm even suggesting that maybe Al-Pidin, it's different. Maybe there is no single kona, single makna. There are exchangers, or everybody's a kona and everybody's a makna. When I'm buying your hat for $100, your watch for $100, I'm the purchaser, you're the seller. Because it's clear that there's only one focal point of the transaction. Here there are two focal points of the transaction. If they're both worth something, for sure, even if it's symbolic, perhaps. So maybe the difference between exchange barter on the one hand, by the way, that's why we care. That's why this matbeya and peiros don't work. You can't barter peiros and you can't barter matbeya. Matbeya is a mechanism, right? Currency is not an intrinsic object. It's a commodity used or to efficiently or otherwise, right, symbolize value or convey value and allow for, you know, it was the Bitcoin of its time. Right? Or maybe Laulano. Right? But that's not true. That's why Ein Matbeya Nasa Kalia. Peiros? Okay. Peiros is more of a debate about, but the point is that peiros isn't a long term, it spoils, it's food. Right? You don't barter food. Right? You're not going to put it in a trophy case.
I mean, Yaakov and Esau was bartering about Adashi.
But who said that was barter? Maybe it was, maybe it probably wasn't barter. It was, most people think it was Kenyan, right? Anyways, my point is that if it's, whether it's Taz and the Sma, or barter and value, we can understand very well the Havamina and the Maskana. Meaning, how different are these things? They're similar, they're not identical, there are differences. That's kind of what Tosis was saying. We always knew Ein Peiros Nasa Chalipin. That's what the Ritva said. We always knew Ein Matbeya Nasa Chalipin. We always knew Matbeya that Chalipin is Nayu B'Pachas Mipruta. So why did we think that it was Kain Kesef so much? On the other hand, even the Maskana, according to Rabbeinu Tam, we continue to say, the Ravid also, the Ravid in Hilchos, this is for next week, in Hilchos Abadim, in Hilchos Mechira, says, Kesef Areu Kekinyan. What do you mean Kesef Areu Kekinyan? It doesn't work in Kiddushin. Right? The answer is, of course, it doesn't work in Mabeya, it doesn't work in Peiros, and according to Levi, it's Caleb Shalmakna. Levi may not be fair, because maybe Levi really is a linchpin, but we don't pass it like him, fine. But the other things we even paskin like. Is this Nayab Apophis Mipruta? What's he talking about? The answer is, it is and it isn't. It's a different, but connected idea. Okay, so let's stop here. This is what Tosis provides for us. I want to do next week, sorry, I'm a little over time, the Rambam and another idea, perhaps, in the Tosis Rid. We'll try to finish off, and the Ram. And then we'll move on to the next one.